the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he stated such an action, he mentioned such an action about which it is said that the special quality of this action is that it is the weapon, it is a tool for a mu'min, for a believer. It is the foundation for our deen, for our religion, and it is the light of the heavens and the earth. So what a great action this is for the mu'min, the believer. It is a tool, it is a resource, weapon, resource, something like a shield for a mu'min. It protects him, it shields him, it helps him. So the special quality of this amal, of this action, is that all problems, difficulties, the biggest issues, disease, illness, problems, whatever there is a person faces in life, doesn't matter how big and the size and the magnitude, for all of those, this amal becomes a protection, a source of protection from all of those negatives. So what a great favor Allah Ta'ala has given to the human being via this action. Whoever starts to implement this action in his life, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. In hadith, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated that this action, when he implements it, an individual, then this action, it affects all of his problems, difficulties, sorrows, all of those things, all the ups and downs that we face in our life, then this action, it proves to be a help and assistance through those tough times. And the second point that's mentioned is that it's the foundation of our deen. The foundation. What's the foundation of anything? Yeah. That, for example, there's a building, this building, and the building is constructed, manufactured, made upon the foundations. If the foundation is weak and collapses, then the building collapses. So in other words, that the special quality of this amal that we're discussing, this action, is that by implementing this action, that person's deen, his faith and religion stays strong, it stays firm. Because for deen, there are lots of tragedies that your deen faces. It's a big test that we're facing in this world. Every moment for a human being, he's going through a new phase of life, new challenges, new issues and tests that he has to face. And the biggest thing for a human being is that there's waswasa of shaitan, whispering evil thoughts of shaitan. The shaitan's power is like he is flowing in the veins of a person. What shaitan won't do is that he's not going to allow our iman to be stronger. He doesn't want to show us the path to paradise. His function is one, that somehow this person, shaitan says, that whatever I am, wretched and cursed, I want him to be included in my group. I want to weaken his iman. I want to weaken his aqidah, his belief. I want to inject wasawis into his mind, whispering into his mind, whatever deeds he implements, I want him to doubt his deeds. This is the shaitan's attack. How big an attack of shaitan. The person practices a Muslim and he has waswas of shaitan. Shaitan weakens him, makes him doubt. He stays half of this and half of that. Yeah, one foot here, one foot there. So a person who's like that, then he doesn't get a sakina in his mind. His life's disturbed, his mind's disturbed, he's confused. And this is a conundrum a person's in. So Allah Ta'ala says, why this action, this amal, that Allah's put a great quality into this action, that it becomes, it looks after his whole deen, his faith, his religion. That's how great is this action. The third quality is that is the light of the heavens and the earth. Subhanallah, another fantastic quality of this action. What is that nur in reality? The light of the heavens and the nur. This is the nur, the light of Allah's marifa, Allah's nearness, Allah's qurb, getting close to Allah. So in other words, the human being, via implementing this action, Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. What does this mean? What does this mean? Is that he gets such a strong connection with Allah, and it further strengthens, he gets closer and closer to his Rabb, to his creator via this action. He gets a strong relationship with Allah, strong connection with Allah via implementation of this action. This is a hadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And for his ummah, he stated such great formulas and prescriptions that my ummah, my believers, my followers, that as time passes in this world, the worst as the time passes, then when a severe generation will come, then these hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are light for us, they are nur for us. Because people nowadays, they give up so quickly. What can we do? It's hard for us to practice deen. I can't practice this now. And the environment around us is too hard. We hear this little bit of a test comes in our life, or a problem comes, or a downfall comes, or a challenge comes. Straight away, we put our hands up and we blame the deen of Islam. We blame the deen of Islam. We look down at the deen and we weaken our faith. No, it's too hard for us to, in this day and age, to practice this action. Now, how can I pray salah in congregation in the masjid? Should I work or run my business or pray salah? But remember one thing. Remember one thing. That if a human being has courage and determination, and I'm talking practically here, experience, I'm also passing through this phase with you. So when a human being passes through the decades and the phases, mashallah, you sat in front of me, then why shouldn't I discuss with you those things that we can practice, that we keep on reading books and hearing about books, but let's talk practical things that in reality, this is the life of Islam that we're discussing it. Everyone in our lives, we have ups and downs, all of us. And the biggest restriction and hurdle for a person is that his deen becomes hurdle. Salah, how can that be hurdle? What a fantastic action is prayer. Prayer. That we cannot imagine Allah has given us such an act of worship, prayer, salah, about which is stated from the hadith, we hear this as well, is that the barrier, the wall between kufr, disbelief and belief is salah. The wall between disbelief and belief. So how can a person who's got iman, who's a Muslim, leave salah when he's got a problem? Or a guest has come, or this person's come, or I've got this issue. On minor problems, we make excuses not to pray salah. Minor excuses. Tell me, what a great action. That if you want to recognize if a person is a believer or he's got disbelief, the wall between is what? Salah. Look at that person's salah if you want to determine if he's a believer. What's the position of his salah? And then you'll realize the state of iman of that person. Salah, prayer, is such a great action that in the hereafter, the person, when he gets forgiveness in the hereafter by Allah, alhamdulillah, person, he implements lots of action in this world. And no book will open in thereafter. The first action that will you be asked on the in the hereafter is your salah, your prayer. The first action. Have you not read the hadith? What a fantastic and great hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated. And the meaning of the hadith is this, that if any individual, if he carefully, cautiously, carefully, regularly, he implements his salah, prays his salah, Allah says, it's my responsibility, I will deliver him into paradise. It's my responsibility. What a great guarantee Allah is giving. But the person who is not careful and doesn't pray salah, then Allah says, I have no responsibility on that person. So if Allah is guaranteeing based on this action of salah, prayer, then first and foremost, the biggest concern we have to have for ourselves, for our children, with regards to the hereafter, the first and biggest worry is in my home, salah has to be prayed. And scheduling, how should the men pray salah? How should the women pray salah? A little bit different, isn't it? For us men folk, what is the order? Is that apart from those Sharia Islamic excuses, yes, every Muslim should know the Islamic excuses for not praying salah. That for salah, we should have A to Z information that tomorrow when we are asked about salah, the salah will be the biggest asset on the day in the hereafter. In my home, if somebody is not praying in my home, then it should be qiyamah in my home. What's going on here? Why is this not person praying? Why isn't she praying? Why isn't he praying? Concern, fikr, just like we have fikr, concern. Why didn't he go to school today? Why didn't he go to college today? Why didn't he go to university today? Why didn't he do this action today? Why didn't he go to the shop today? If what's happening about our business is going to flop, we have so much concern when we don't work. Where will we eat from? Where will we earn from? Where will the money? Soon as the child is born, we're worried about the career. My brothers worry about those things. That Allah says, I've given you the responsibility to pray salah in the world. Think about it. Allahu Akbar. Extreme negligence and laziness are women folk, our sisters, and they make the children lazy. Astaghfirullah, they don't let the children pray. Oh, he's a child, he'll pray one day. No, for salah, by chance I've just come onto this subject of salah. I wasn't going to discuss this today. The salah prayer in the life of a Muslim. Allah's given us the catalyst, and that this is how you have to be saved. This is how you have to save yourself. This is how you have to pray. Allah's trained us fully the how you implement salah in your life as a Muslim. There's no such thing about which Allah Ta'ala says, simple action. Very simple. And there's a daraja, the status, that the more you want to increase your status, you can take your salah to the highest rank. It's salah that will take you to the highest rank. Yes. Even the highest rank and status of a believer, you get the martaba ihsan, the rank of ihsan. When you pray salah, you should be praying salah as if you are seeing Allah. Yes. So all of this, dhikr, adhkar we do, remembering Allah, mujahada, making effort, tazkiyah. In reality, we're doing all these things because we are doing all of the dhikr and fikr and mujahada to correct our salah. Not that I'm doing dhikr and I don't pray salah, or I don't come to salah. This is shaitani actions. These are shaitani actions. This has no concern with tasawwuf. No relation with tasawwuf. The fountain and foundation is what Allah Ta'ala has prescribed. That's salah. However you place, even if it's broken down, it's feeble, even that is a great action. Even if your heart's feeling something else, you don't feel like someone saying, I'm thinking of other things, what's the benefit of my salah? There is benefit of salah. 100%. Even if you just do the actions and you're not even thinking to salah, there's a benefit. It's such an ibadah. Every ibadah Allah Ta'ala has given a let off. But this, there isn't. Look how much Allah Ta'ala has emphasized and strictness. I won't say strictness, rather. How much Allah wants us to pray. Not strict. Allah's not strict. Allah's made this action of salah His beloved action. As a human being, if you can't stand in salah, sit down and pray salah. If you can't sit down and pray salah, lie down and pray salah. If you can't lie down and pray salah, then just move the fingers down. If you can't do wudu, do tayammum. Do tayammum. If you can't even move your mouth, then use the eyelashes and blink and pray. But no, I don't want to pray. When can you leave salah? When you leave this dunya or you fall unconscious and you're not awake, then a person, he can't pray. Then you have to give an injection. He doesn't have to pray salah, obviously. For the woman, what's the order? That if the child is being born, yeah, the child is born. Even if the child hasn't come out of the womb yet, the woman has to pray salah. These are sharia masalas. You have to learn them. But the conditions are firm and clear. Salah, prayer. So what do we do with our salah, with our prayer? Tell me. Some people, they do so much dhikr, adhkar, wazifas, pray, and they don't come to salah and jama'ah. Ajeeb. Oh, I stay awake all night long, I keep the fast, I do this. All of this is a waste down the drain. Because that ibadah is worship, which is according to Allah's liking and His conditions. Whatever actions you do, you have to do it according to Allah's prescription. Fajr time. Let's take Fajr time. You can't pray tahajjud at Fajr time. I'm praying tahajjud. That you can't pray Fajr tahajjud time, can you? There are times Allah Ta'ala has allotted, and at that time when you do the action, that's when it has value. And even nawafil, the position is like of some nawafil. That time, if you don't pray or implement a nafil at that time, if it's, for example, if it's before a certain salah and you do it after, then that condition has ended. That time has ended. That time slot has ended. And you haven't implemented action the way Allah Ta'ala wanted you to do that. So then that value of that action ends. So everything has to be done at the right time. You have to be extremely careful. Ibadah, and most of all, regards to ibadah, worship, we have to be careful and cautious. And what is that? Salah. Salah. That's how great is the action of salah. And by leaving salah, the person who leaves salah is a big hisab. If a person leaves salah, forget about not praying salah if you're just lazy. Just lazy. I'm repeating hadiths for our iman so we can strengthen our iman. Forget about leaving salah. Person who's lazy with salah. I won't even go to leaving salah. Oh, I'll pray sometime. Oh, okay, I'll pray at home. I pray, is there salah at home? Tell me. Is there salah at home? I'll pray at home today. I ask people, Fajr time? Oh, I pray at home, Fajr. At the time, in the beginning of time. Oh, my servant of Allah. In every location, Allah's spread the masjids out in all the... Allah hasn't made them. If you look from above, today then in Bolton, masjids are spread out everywhere. In every... Who is there who hasn't made a masjid today? Who is there who hasn't made a masjid? Tell me. But who makes the masjid? Allah makes the masjid. The thing that we are extremely desperately in need of, Allah spread His home across the city. I think there are not other buildings in the city, there are masjids Allah has given us in the city. And every type of masjid Allah has given us, alhamdulillah. Such mosques, their morning and evening dhikr takes place there as well. Allah has given us that as well. So this is Allah's karam and grace and blessing on us. Allah says, you, my servants, are created. You, Salah, is essential for you. The mountain, this country, Allah Ta'ala has prepared and given us the resource. People come from abroad and say, wow, where can I pray Salah? You know when a person who comes from abroad, he wants to pray, that, where will I pray? Where will I go? I want to go Fajr. I heard it's cold, etc. When they see here that there is more ease and comfort here to pray Salah compared to the country they come from, they're shocked. They're amazed. What beautiful masjids, hot water, warm water, is not cold in the masjid. And they forget that what their masjids were like. The toilets are clean and sparkling, people serving the masjid. And here, people have got a habit and a desire to keep the masjids clean. Because masjid is clean, but astaghfirullah, in our home countries, we consider the most dirty places the toilets of the masjid, the astaghfirullah. Whereas that the thing we should keep clean the most is the toilet in the masjid. Is the toilet. That's where purity is attained. That's where we go to purify ourselves and relieve ourselves. But we keep it the dirty. We don't clean it. We don't wash it. When people, that Allah has given us awareness and health, and He's given us masjids in this country. Such a great resource so that a person can come, attend Allah's home. So what a person should do? That, for example, so what is being careful and cautious? That at the time of Salah, a person's got health, he's got everything, he's got a car, or even if he has got a car, 15 minute walk, 10 minute walk, 5 minutes walk, if Allah's given you health, vitality, no problem. If you've got a Sharia excuse, and it's written in Sharia that this reason, that is better for you not to go. That's Sharia excuse. If Allah says don't go now, then at that time don't be a pehlwan, a bodybuilder, I'm going to the masjid, he's making a mistake. Allah has given a let off. For example, there's times when Allah has given a let off that in this condition, that fasting, you don't need to fast. Allah, no, I'm going to keep the fast. Or if Allah says, do the traveling, the journey salah, less, you say, no, I'm going to pray more. So no, then instead of thawab is sin, no, I'm going to pray four. Why should I pray two in the journey? Allah says, do qasr on the journey. Do qasr. So we have to follow Allah's rules and regulations. When Allah orders that doesn't matter what comes, come to the masjid and hasten to the run to the masjid and pray salah. Not that I pray salah, salah is accepted, I pray there, salah is accepted. No. So whoever's careful and cautious with regards to salah, and he makes sure salah is prayed at home, those people are at home. The women folk, and he exhorts them and tells them to pray salah, then you will see the Awa Jamaat, when the Baligh Jamaat, when it goes out to the difference, what do they do? For what purpose? For Salah they go on Jamaat. The biggest Tabligh is what? Allah Ta'ala has created such a Jamaat that just for this action they give Dawah Tabligh Jamaat. They don't argue, no quarrel, no Muslim Masail, nothing else. Nor do they talk about dhikr, they don't talk about Quran. They have one objective, one speech. Come towards Salah and pray Salah in Jamaat. Subhanallah. This is, isn't it? This is the order. This is the order, instruction. So this means, this doesn't prove that it's only apart from Salah, we shouldn't do any other actions. No, it doesn't mean this. What I'm saying is that Allah Ta'ala has created and overwhelmed an action. Some people are working out on hadith. Some people working out on giving tafsir of Quran. Some people work out on inviting to dhikr. In the same way, on the point, different parts of the world, different areas, different. There's no competition or clash. Or dispute, I'm doing this, I'm better than you, your deen's no good, I'm correct and you are wrong and we're successful. This is in the shaitan yanzabainum. That a deen that's progressing whilst you're doing it, don't bring shaitan in between and say you're better, other people are less better and there's quarrels and masjid split and people have enmities and both are doing the work of the deen. Or all of them are doing the work of the deen. There should be no clash or argument. Forgive me if I'm wrong, but this is the fitna in our community today. That don't consider somebody inferior or bad. Yeah, if he's doing work of the Deen Islam, why is he doing that? Why I'm not doing? Why am I doing this or not? Everyone's got a different taste. If everybody was to do the same, if Allah said everyone becomes a doctor in the world, then who would do the rest of the work in the world? Who'd run a shop? Who'd run businesses? Who'd be a teacher? Who'd be an accountant? Yes? You see different careers. So for example, if you're a person who's studying medicine, say, I want to become an accountant. You say, no, I don't want to be that. Because Allah instills in his heart a desire for that career. Allah Ta'ala wants the dunya to run and there are needs for different types of people in the world. Different professions. Allah makes somebody a jeweler and a person who's a jeweler, he enjoys it. He didn't say, oh, okay, let me leave that. That his rizq, he's earning it. But at the same time, he says, I enjoy it. And then you got a person who's a butcher. He says, I like cutting the meat. People say, why are you running a butcher shop? Why do you cut meat? He goes, no, I like it. It's my business. I'm self-employed. I'm cutting meat. Person who doesn't like it, he thinks, oh, I'm not going to stand there in a butcher shop run. How can I cut chickens and meat? So everyone has a different taste of what he wants to do in life. So what I'm trying to say, Salah, coming back to Salah, such a great action about which The human being, the believer, every second he has to be careful, cautious about his salah. So coming back to the hadith I was discussing in the beginning, what is that? That this action is the foundation of our deen. This amal that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, let me repeat what I said in the beginning, was in between, I went on to different subjects. Maybe that word has come out of your mind. The hadith I want to share with you, I'll come back to the original topic. Yes, such a great action, the Holy Prophet ﷺ said, such a great action, that this action, if we implement it, that is the light of the heavens and the earth, the nur. And what is nur? That you attain Allah's qurb from this action. Allah's nearness from this action is attained. You strengthen your relationship with Allah. It's the foundation of the deen. And it's the protection, the shield for the mu'min. Such a great action. Imagine how great this action is. That these are its qualities. How much we should make effort to do this action. But no, very easy it is to implement this action. Sounds hard to attain all these qualities, but we are desperately in need of this action, and it's very easy to do this action. Extremely easy to do, and we're desperately in need. What is the action? What is the action? Tell me. What is the action? Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that is doing dua, asking Allah, supplicating to Allah, making dua to Allah. Within the action of dua, Allah's put these qualities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that if you do so much dua and you prepare and plan to do dua properly, what's the point here? Is that at the time when a person does dua to Allah, he should not lose heart. He should not lose heart. Remember this. And for dua, despite everything, Allah ta'ala said something else on this. Allah says, "Ud'uni wastajib lakum." Whatever you ask from me, Allah says, I will give to you. In other words, accepted beyond accepted. In every circumstance, Allah says, I'll accept your du'as. There's a small point here, time is short, so quickly, it's come to my mind, I'll share that with you quickly. That when we do du'a, we say, Allah, I'll do a lot of du'as, I'll ask you, but it's sad to say that we ask for those du'as, we ask for those things from Allah, that Allah says, even if you don't ask me, I'll give to you, say subhanAllah. Allah says, even if you don't ask me for those minor things, minuscule things, Allah, give me this, Allah, give me your children, Allah, give me this. Allah says, I'm Rabbul Alameen. Without you asking me these things, I'll give to you. Yes, I'll give you an example here. Mujahida. Yes, that, for example, a person, the people who don't have faith, they don't do dua, they don't ask for money or food. And here people start thinking that the disbelievers, they get food, they get water, they get drink. Why do I have to do dua for this? What's the benefit? My brothers, Allah is Rabbul Alameen, the creator of the whole of mankind. Such things are there. All the things of the dunya that we need, every human being needs, Allah will give to the spiders, to the creatures. Allah gives food and drink. So there's no differentiation here between believers and disbelievers. It's our mistake. We keep on asking Allah for those things that even without asking him, he'll give to us. For just like Allah gives to the disbelievers. So what should we ask from Allah? So a point is coming to my mind. I'd like to summarize that and present that to you. So what we learn is that we, when we do dua, that we don't even know how to do dua. So what should we ask from Allah? We don't even know how to do dua. What we should ask from Allah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has told us the dua, that ask these duas only from me. Everything you'll attain via these duas. And that dua to ask Allah for that thing, how has Allah Ta'ala given us that learning? I'm trying to get into a bit more detail so you understand. That yesterday or the day before we were talking about this point, so I'll repeat again. The whole Quran is the greatest kitab of Allah, the Quran. And whenever you see a book in the, for example, world, we see when you open any book to read it, you will see the introduction, the preface, the forward section. So the Quran, in the same way, the forward, the introduction of the Quran is what? I told you the other day tonight, what was it? Surah Al-Fatiha. Surah Al-Fatiha is the introduction to the Quran. Yes? I told you that the forward, the preface in a kitab, it gives you the whole summary of that kitab. The summary, the essence of that kitab. What you're about to read, what you'll find in kitab, the summary. And when you get a summary written, a preface, then you get a learned person to write that. So Allah Ta'ala says that the essence of the Quran, the forward of the Quran is in Surah Al-Fatiha. So now let's look at Surah Al-Fatiha. How important this Surah must be, Surah Al-Fatiha. The whole Quran's description Allah gives in Surah Al-Fatiha. And in Surah Al-Fatiha, apart from two things, you will not find anything else in Surah Al-Fatiha. So what we learn is that in the deen, how important this must be. And what is that? Allahu Akbar. Two things Allah has put into Surah Al-Fatiha. How important they must be. One, Allah says thana, and second is dua. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah's thana and his dua. Which dua is Allah put? That Allah Ta'ala says that dua that you should request from me and supply, and you don't make that dua. And this is the real dua. All the other du'as, don't fall into that trap. Do this du'a, Allah says. Ask for this du'a. And do it. Such Allah made this du'a for us important. Allah says, this surah al-Fatiha, that ibadah that I was speaking about, salah, Allah has inserted this surah al-Fatiha into salah, which we must pray. And Allah says, in that surah al-Fatiha is the du'a that we must ask for. So the pious people say that the importance of surah al-Fatiha and the importance of salah is for this reason, because this du'a is inside of this. This, the importance of that du'a has made it come into Surah Fatiha, and that's why it's come into Salah. And that's why it says, that's the reason why I'm telling you to pray Salah, because in Salah will be Surah Al-Fatiha, and in Surah Al-Fatiha is that du'a that you must ask for me. Allah says, everything else I'll give to you automatically. If you make this du'a to me, and I give it to you, then Allah says, understand I've given you the nur of the heavens and the earth. What du'a is that? Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawm Al-Din, Iyaka Nabud Wa Iyaka Nasta'in. Yes, this is Allah's thana. This is Allah's thana. Praise of Allah. What is the dua? Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. This is the dua. Say subhanallah. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. This is the dua Allah Ta'ala says that you should ask from me. This is the real supplication. Now disbeliever can ask this dua. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. What should we ask from Allah? Allah, give me the straight path. Keep me on the straight path. Not on the path, Allah. The straight path. Allah, show me the straight path. Which is the most valuable thing for us in this world we've been sent for. This is our job, our occupation. Allah, allow us to depart this world on the path of guidance. Very precious point if you understand what I'm saying today. So the real dua, the essence, so important. Allah says, that's why it's so important, this dua. That's why I make you pray salah. Allah says, so that every day, many times a day, from your mouth, your tongue, you say, Allah, show me the right path. Allah, show me the right path. Allah, show me the right path. Because without this, everything is a waste for a human being if he's not on the right path. When the right path, then Allah has given the description. Three qualities that describe the right path. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Then understand what is sirat al-mustaqim, Allah says. Anamta alayhim. Sirat al-adheen anamta alayhim. Ghayri al-maghdubi alayhim wa al-dalin. Three groups. Three groups there will be, Allah says. To differentiate so you understand, so you don't go off track. Shaitan will say to you, this is the right path, this is the right path, this is the right path, this is good action. And he will say, everyone's correct. Allah said, no, beware. I'll tell you, I'll define to you, Allah says, this is salah. That's why we have to pray salah. That's why we have to pray Surah Fatiha, because we have to do this dua. Allah says, I split the people into three groups. One, first and foremost, listen, what is the right path? Anamta alayhim. One of those group of people, Allah says, my rewards come on those people. One of the maghdoob, Allah says, those who've got my ghadab, my wrath due to their misdeeds. And this essence, and the Quran, Allah says it with detail, this qawm did this, the rest of the Quran, these people were made into monkeys and apes, they were made into pigs and swine. Different places in the Quran, Allah has given examples of the previous nations, I don't need to tell you, you read the Quran, maghdoob. And the third group, who are they? Those people who are astray. So first we have maghdoob, wal ad-dalin. One of those who deliberately do wrong, and one of those who do unknowingly do wrong. And nobody do wrong. So the deviated people, for example, you're walking on the road, you don't know where to go, you're lost, you go off track, you get lost. So that's a person who's astray, gone off the track. Yeah. And those, the others are those who deliberately know. They know what's right, they know they're doing wrong. Despite that, they continue to do wrong. So these are the three groups. Maghdoob, who are they? Those who know, but they still do wrong. Maghdoob. And Allah's wrath. There's a qawm. They continue to do that, just like they still do now. And then the other people who are astray. But one group, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, anamta alayhim, on those people who Allah's rewards, and Allah's described them again. Anamta alayhim, who are those people who earn Allah's rewards? Nibbiyin wa siddiqin wa shuhada wa salihin. Subhanallah. Tell me. Nabis, the prophets, the siddiq, the shuhada, the martyrs, the salihin. So now the straight path, Allah has detailed it. If you want to find it, if you want to attain the right path, the straight path, Allah is explaining Himself. What do we need to do? What should we do? Then we have to be saved from the others. Maghdoob and Dalim. Those people are astray. And what path do we need to go on to? Those that have been the Siddiqeen, the Shuhada, the Salihin. We need to go on to their path. That those people who have gone on to that path, which path is that? That's the straight path, Sirat al-Mustaqim. Now here's another point I'll share with you now. An additional point, the Nabi's path, the Siddiq's path, the Shuhada path, and the Salihin path. Because this path will carry on until Qiyamah. And Allah says, until the day of judgment, this path will do. Allah's prepared this path till Qiyamah. Because the prophets won't come anymore. Sadiq's not going to come. Shodab, we don't know. But who? For following the straight path so the people can keep on going on the Nasrat Muslim. Allah says, the Salihin, I've sent them continually until Qiyamah. Allah says, my friends, my walis, the mashayikh, until Qiyamah they will continue to come. What will they do? The sheikhs, the mashayikh, they will follow the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They will demonstrate to you that follow me and I'll take you also onto the path, Sirat al-Mustaqim. That's what the Wali Allah does. Subhanallah. These are the Salihin. Salihin will never end until the day of judgment. Allah will continue to send them. Because when the Salihin end, how? They will never will. Allah has promised that for you to follow the straight path, definitely you'll have to follow the Salihin. So the definition of Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, Allah show me the straight path is what? Subhanallah. That the obedient, pious people follow them, attach yourself to them, and save yourself, detach yourself from the disobedient people. This is Sirat al-Mustaqim. MashaAllah. That's the tafsir. In between this point came that I wanted to share with you so that we can understand this. So now, if you want to follow the straight path, the right path, if you want to determine is your path the right path or the wrong path, and you will realize who are you imitating, who are you following, who are you adhering to, which group are you with, you will realize straight away if you analyze that this man, his aqidah is what, this man, what actions does he do, what does he not do, whoever's aqidah, everything is imitating who? The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that he follows. Who's that? The Prophet, the final Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Whoever follows the sunnah, whoever follows sharia, every second he looks after his deen, he questions his deen, subhanAllah. And we make friendship with that person, then he will definitely take you to the straight and the right path. So it's lazim, compulsory, essential. Allah has announced in the Quran that definitely what you need to do, O believer, is to follow the straight path, Sirat al-Mustaqim. You need to make friendship, connection with a wali Allah, with a sheikh. Otherwise you will fall astray, go astray. Because shaitan will say to you, are you on the right path? Shaitan, and that verse of the Quran has come to my mind now. إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّبِّ هُوَ رَبُّكُمْ فَعْبُدُوا هَذَا سِرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ Subhanallah. That your Rabb, your Lord, who is your Lord? Who is your Lord? Who is your Creator? Allah says that who you have to obey and you have to follow His commandments, and that's the straight path. And how will you attain that? Via imitating the Prophet. By imitating the Prophet whose followers we are. And we have to keep that steadfast in our life. And Allah Ta'ala has given us resources, the walis of Allah in this day and age. If we have their sohbat, if we have their connection, if we stay in their company and we follow their direction, then the path of our deen will be protected and shielded from the wrong. And shaitan won't say, this is the right path on that, or this is the right path. That's why I said, if you read, for example, Surah Yasin, that beware, shaitan will make you say, no, follow the wrong path, you are fine, you are correct. How, what does he know? That if you have to compare that this practice of mine in my life, is it correct what I'm doing? Subhanallah. So straight away you'll understand when you question yourself, that if you have a connection with the Wali Allah, with the Shaykh, Allah has given protection to the believers, imitate him, follow him, have friendship with him, have his company. Wali Allah, Shaykh is lazim, fard, compulsory in this day and age. As we go further away from the time of the Prophet ﷺ, more waswas of shaitan will come. And different types of deen will be created. And different types of actions will come. And bid'at and innovations and wrong actions, to understand what is right, what is wrong. To determine that, take the company of a Wali Allah who 100% himself is following that deen and the Sharia and the Sunnah. So this is Ihdina Sirat Al-Mustaqim. So Allah says that you need to request dua, ask for this dua, subhanallah. We're talking about dua, weren't we? If you want to request dua, then make that dua. Allah says that I am giving you prison. We dua on duas and we ask many different duas, but this is the dua we should recite. Allah has given us a surah to teach us this dua. Allah mahdina sirat al-mustaqim. Allah keep us straight, steadfast on the deen. Deen is our biggest way, and do other duas, and then also follow the resources and the methods that make our deen strong. May Allah give us the tawfiq to practice this. Ameen. Recite the Rusul.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Salatu wa salamu ala sayyidi al-mursaleen. Shafi'i al-mursaleen. Taha wa yasin al-habib al-malik. Allahumma salli ala muhammadin nabiyyin yizwajihim wa hajim al-mu'minin. Wa zurriyatihi ba'li baytihi kama sallaita ibrahim wa ala ali ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Sallim wa taslim al-daiman al-mu'minin. اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم الشهداء والصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا اللهم استقبلنا بسنته ونفعنا بمحبته وشرنا في زمرته يا كريم اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان عليك البلاء ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.